99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
MMA Radio back here on 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, on Google Podcasts, on Apple iTunes, and anywhere you can find the podcast, which we posted shortly after our show airs tonight. Great to have you with us. Hope you are healthy and safe. Same with all your loved ones, and hope everybody out there is safe. We appreciate you joining us here on the show today for a little bit of a distraction, a little outlet for you to get you away to some degree from what's going on with this coronavirus that has shut down most of sports. MMA is in that shutdown for the most part, but it is going to come back on the national stage, at least the way it's scheduled to, very, very soon. So we're going to get into all of that on the show today. Plus, we will visit with undefeated MMA fighter Olivia Parker. She has an unbelievable story. She is undefeated, and she's ready to get to the national stage. We'll talk to Olivia Parker coming up in the second segment of our show. As always, to help us break it down, it's the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Southeast Regional Organization based in Knoxville, Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, how are you, sir? You and the family staying safe?
We're socially distanced, and have been now for going on 2 weeks, I guess. So anxiously awaiting for that not to be the case.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll talk about here in just a minute what's going on with Valor Fighting Challenge. Things are moving, a lot impacted in the MMA and the sports world. You can always reach us on Twitter at Vince Sports, V-I-N-C-E Sports, whether it's feedback, whether it's an interview that you'd like us to do, any kind of feedback, any questions you have, topics you want us to discuss and get into. There's a lot on our plate, on our to-do list that we haven't been able to get into just yet, but we will in the days to come. Tim is at TZ Loy. You're better off going the Facebook route for Tim. Just look for Tim Loy on Facebook or Valor Fighting Challenge, and then you want to follow them on social media as well to find out the latest on upcoming events as well. So a lot to discuss. We don't have the norm in terms of previewing the next event or reviewing the last event. Only Cage Warriors 13 in Manchester. That was pretty much the only thing. I think maybe an event in Poland. That was about it from the MMA world this weekend. So let's jump in. And by the way, we were going to talk to Cutman Mark Laws. I had to push him back another week. I promise you, we're going to bring you his great insight, that fun interview we'll have with Mark Laws coming up very, very soon, we promise. All right, let's get into our big three stories that we do typically here on our first segment. And one, it's that COVID-19 cancellations updates on shows in MMA. We mentioned last week that the UFC was canceling their next three events, the one from this past weekend, plus this coming weekend, and then the next one in 2 weeks on April 11th. After that, then the UFC says they're good to go, and we'll get into that in a minute. But Tim, really from a national standpoint, it's the UFC that we missed. Then Bellator kind of reconfirming that their next event, May 9th, as far as they know, is still intact right now.
Yeah, I think that like all of us, everyone's just kind of hoping for the best at this point. And it's hard to just completely put everything on the back burner at this point. You know, Bellator's fortunate that they didn't really have to cancel any but the one show, the one that was supposed to be in Connecticut. May 9th being their next scheduled date gives them a nice, 6-7 weeks for the air to clear in between. So that's it's fortunate for them, but at the same time, it sounds like they're prepared just in case things haven't cleared up to adjust on the fly.
Pretty much everything is shut down right now other than Cage Warriors, right?
There's not much going on, man. There is a show I found this Sunday, Chael Sonnen Submission Underground is like a cage grappling type show. They are having a closed venue show on UFC Fight Pass, and there's several UFC fighters on that card. You know, we've got Carlos Condit, Jake Ellenberger, Roxanne Modafari. They're doing a tag team grappling match, so there's something. But as far as national MMA, there's really nothing that I've seen happening before the UFC 249 card anyway.
Regionally, I know the next couple of shows, at least in the short term, have been postponed with Valor Fighting Challenge. Bring us up to date on those two upcoming shows that have been altered.
Yeah, you know, we were originally supposed to have number 71 on March 28th, which would have been this coming Saturday, Saudi Daisy. Saudi Daisy is one of the Hamilton County schools venues, and so with the Hamilton County schools being out of commission at the moment, they aren't letting anyone into those venues. So that show was the first casualty, and then we had hoped to continue on with the April 3rd card, which would be next Friday at the Cotton Eye Joe, which would be Valor 72. Unfortunately, you know, we're going to end up probably, definitely having to push that one back as well. So tentatively, this is kind of some breaking news to a degree, and I may have to retract this next week if things don't fall into place. But ideally, we're hoping to combine the elements of both of those cards for a show at the Joe on April the 18th, which would give us, you know, about a month for this stuff to kind of clear out and us get back to normal, ideally.
And April 18th is also the night of Habib and Ferguson, which we'll get to in a moment. And typically, the Valor Fighting Challenge shows happen earlier in the night, and then you still have time to go watch those big pay-per-views a little bit later on in the night.
100%. That's kind of one of the perks of running at the Cotton Eye Joe's, because they want them dancing, you know, at 10 o'clock. And so that's when the pay-per-view card generally starts. So we're rolling out of there just in time for the good stuff.
Excellent. Now, how are fighters during this period, how are they staying in shape when it's very difficult, I would think, with so many being encouraged to stay home and stay away from big groups? How are they staying in shape for whenever their next fight may come up?
You know, there's a variety of techniques, I guess, if you will, at this point. And a lot of it, I think, depends on just what level you are in the sport. If you're someone like Beef, you know, you're back in Russia and things are probably just as they normally would be for you, because they're just not under the restriction. If you are someone like a Tony Ferguson, you know, you can afford to kind of have entire sessions built around you to where you can bring in the best people that you want to do training sessions, even if it is just groups of, you know, five or six, still adhering to that, you know, less than gathering of 10 people, but having really good top-notch training partners still around you to get you ready. And then you've got your groups like KMAA here in Knoxville, where they have a very deep pro team. They can shut the gym off to the rest of the community and not be having classes, but their pros can convene in groups of eight or nine and still get good work in preparation. And then you've got your other people that are just not quite on that level, that are having to just, you know, figure it out, do their own thing on their own at this point.
Yeah, I would think guys that typically go to different places for cross training, get different looks, things like that. I know Hot Sauce used to always go to Arizona. Now, because of his baby, he goes to Charlotte because it's a little bit closer to home. I would imagine that some of those long distance travel, because it's really discouraged right now, I would imagine for some, they're not able to do that kind of cross training.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's where you have to make some alterations for sure. But again, it isn't like interstate travel is prohibited at this point. So, right, you know, budget permitting, you can still bring in, you know, the people that you need to get you through a training camp, I think, at this point.
All right. Number two in our three big stories. I'm Vince Ferrara along with Tim Lloyd. It's in the Cage MMA Radio each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 and streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Dana White says he has the location about 99.9% set for UFC 249, which is still intact. And Dana White is very adamant to get this done. Habib Nurmagomedov, Tony Ferguson. Dana White thinks it's going to happen and he's got a location. What do you think about this closed door event that Dana White feels like is going to happen?
Man, I really think that he's going to make it happen at this point. You know, the UFC is a machine, and with them shutting down their next three shows, they've kind of been able to just focus that machine on making sure this UFC 249 happens. It's, you know, pretty obvious it's probably not going to happen in the United States. So, you know, the rumors being that it could be in Dubai, that's certainly, you know, that's a country that offered hundreds of millions of dollars to host, you know, Conor versus Khabib. So it's obvious that they're playing with a lot of money over there. So you could very, very feasibly make it come to fruition that the UFC sends their entire roster over there, their entire staff, their entire crew over there weeks in advance, and then they can properly be quarantined and tested, make sure everyone's healthy, don't put them in too much risk to get sick over there, and make sure they pull off a huge show that would be, you know, the eyes of the world would be on.
What kind of number are we talking in terms of a UFC full staff crew? They're going to send everyone over there to put the entire event together. What are we talking, 100, 200 people? What are we talking?
Oh, no, I wouldn't think that we would be to that number for just their – if we're not talking about fighters and corners, if we're just talking about UFC production crew, I would think 25-ish.
Everybody together, broadcasters, fighters, UFC staff. What are we talking about, people in one area, in one venue, even if it's closed to the public? What are we talking about, total number of people taking part in traveling over for that event?
Well, you know, we went with a nice round number, like 10 fights. You know, maybe they end up having a couple more, but 10's easier for the math. You know, that's 20 fighters. If each fighter has a 2 to 3 person entourage, they may limit that to 2. I could see that happening. So they'll say that for the sake of argument, that's 20 fighters with 2 people in their entourage each. That's another 40. So that gets us to 60. Another probably 25 UFC staff. Gets us up to 85, you know, and then maybe some officials and those type things. I think we'd be around like maybe 110, give or take. You know, that's not that huge a number, I don't think.
Dana White says it's going to be a full lineup. He said that, look, everyone that's going to be a part of that show wants to be a part of the show. No one's being forced. He's really defending himself in terms of how they take health and safety seriously. Says they have long before and they will long after coronavirus. What do you think about this? Because he's been under a lot of criticism for trying to make these fights happen. How do you feel about him trying to make this happen and to many putting people potentially in harm's way?
Man, I think if they're going about it the right way and you're getting guys over there early, you're quarantining them once they're over there, you're testing them, you're going through all the hoops to do those things to keep them safe, man, I say let's try to make it happen. At this point, I feel like people need some sort of distraction, if you will, something to take their mind off of the constant barrage of the dreaded coronavirus. This is all that you see on social media and all that you see on TV. You know, I think that it's a great endeavor to try to pull off, and I really hope he does.
So how big would that be for the morale of not just MMA fans, because obviously they would eat it up and they're just thirsting for any sort of live combat right now, but what about for sports fans as well? And I'm sure he's looking at those potential new eyes that maybe don't normally watch the sport that now would be focused on their product. What would this do for the morale of sports fans in this country?
I think it would be huge because we've had nothing. You know, I'm a big sports fan. I love basketball. I love baseball. And I'm just without right now. And so MMA is obviously I'm a huge fan of as well, but just all sports, I'm a fan. And I know that there's many more like me out there, yourself included, you know. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I feel like it would be huge. And not only just for the UFC brand, for the sport of MMA and the eyes that it would turn on to it, but just to give people a nice evening of something else.
Ariel Helwani had an interesting comment and take. This is just his opinion. We'll react to it afterwards. Let you hear what Ariel Helwani with Daniel Cormier said about if UFC 249 doesn't happen and what he would like to see.
I don't know if I want to see them fight under these circumstances. Without a proper training camp, without, you know, who knows what kind of diet they've got going on now with these situations. They don't have training partners coming to them. They don't have their proper coaches coming to them. Do you really want to see them? Or should we just say, all right, the next fight? Here's my concern. Everyone got mad at me about this, DC, but this is the thing. As you just said, when the UFC returns, right, what are they going to do? They're going to load the deck, right? Because There's going to be a lot of fighters, big name fighters, who want to return, who are going to be anxious to return. But also, let's be honest, UFC needs to make money, right? They're on hiatus now for a long time. So they're going to want to put together the biggest fights possible. You versus Stipe falls in that category. Masvidal Usman. Khabib Conor is a more lucrative fight than Khabib Ferguson. Everyone on the internet can get mad at me. And let me be very clear before you all freak out on me. I'm not saying I want to see that fight next over Khabib Ferguson. But if you think that Khabib Ferguson is going to make more money than Khabib Conor, you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind. So I'm just saying, if in fact April 18th gets scrapped, it is not a crazy thought to think that the next fight for both those guys when action resumes is themselves, up against themselves. You think I'm crazy? Because I really feel like that's the direction we're going to. Again, I don't want this to happen. Please listen to me. But I'm saying this could happen. What do you think?
That's Ariel Helwani from his show talking about what he'd like to see. How crazy is that? Because he thinks people are going to overreact to it and say that he'd rather see Conor and Khabib right now. He's just saying if UFC 249 doesn't happen, that the UFC might go in that direction instead.
You know, I understand that take and definitely see where he's at with that angle. But I really think that, you know, that's a big assumption at this point that the UFC 249 won't happen, first of all. I really think it will. I think by hook or by crook, they're going to make it happen. But if it weren't to happen, I think it would be get just kind of a collective groan from your UFC fans that have already said that this Tony Khabib fight is cursed, you know. So I think that's what people want to see. You know, they want to see that happen, and I think the UFC is going to do their best to make that happen.
All right. Our third of our big stories, two fights discussed on Twitter, but not in a negative way. I mean, a lot of love going between Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker. They've, I guess, agreed via social media to a lightweight fight. Poirier is ranked number two. Hooker is ranked fifth in the rankings, but they say once the coronavirus pandemic subsides, they'll put it together. And it was being planned, I guess, for May 16th in San Diego, so not going to happen then. But when they get back to main event type of fights, what do you think about those two matching up?
Hey, I think it's a great fight. It's going to be a fun one. The fans win with that one. It's an all-action fight, and, you know, it makes sense. It's kind of a holding pattern fight for both guys.
Is that the best next fight for both of them, do you think?
I can't think of a better one.
Yeah, two versus five, no doubt. And they said, hey, stay safe, health to you and your family. And very similar in the love between another two top 10 welterweights in Gilbert Burns and Michael Chiesa. Burns is ranked sixth. Chiesa is ranked eighth. What do you think about these two who, again, said, hey, stay safe, best of health, we'll fight after the coronavirus?
I love that matchup. You know, that's a fight that I may have talked about last week, wanting to see, to tell you the truth. I really do like that matchup. It's one of those fights where you can see either guy winning, and they're both class acts, and, you know, the winner gets into the top five.
Yeah. So Twitter, a place for love and appreciation and, you know, best wishes, apparently. It's not all negativity, I guess, when it comes to the sports world and social media. That's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. When we come back, we will be joined by undefeated women's MMA fighter Liv Parker. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Throughout the month of March and into April, Westwood One presents great games in NCAA tournament history.
Michael Jordan jumper from out on the left. Good!
Jenkins hits the three to win the national championship.
North Carolina State has upset Houston.
You'll hear full broadcasts and get the perspective from some of the players and coaches that were part of history as we relive some of the moments that gave March Madness its name right here.
Thursday night at 8 p.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hoops fans, Titus and Tate are back.
So we're making history.
Yeah.
Mark Titus and Tate Frazier are two basketball diehards talking NBA, NCAA, and all things sports.
Tate, we got to talk about basketball.
Yes.
Some teams are going into the tournament, they're like, I really like our chances to make a Sweet 16. We haven't been there in 58 years. Whereas, like, Kentucky's like, if we don't win the title, the sky is falling.
Listen and subscribe to Titus and Tate, free, wherever you get your podcasts, from the Westwood One Podcast Network, where the conversation starts.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
If you want a great-looking fence or secure entry gate that will stand the test of time,
you need to call Stanley Fencing and Gate. Proudly serving East Tennessee since 2000, Stanley Fencing can customize your fence. Just tell Stanley Fencing your idea, they bring it to life. Offering chain link, vinyl, aluminum, wood fences. They even specialize in secure entry gates to protect your business. For customized fencing and gates backed by a warranty, choose the Stanley Fence family. Call 865-254-3844 or online at stanleyfence.com.
Junk Be Gone is open and here to serve you in this time of need. Full service junk removal, trash removal, and driveway dumpsters. Just give them a buzz at 865-675-JUNK or book online at junkbegone.biz. Minimal contact, fantastic results.
Hey, it's Ainge for Tracy King and Kings Real Estate. Are you thinking about selling your home? The first thing you need to do is call an experienced agent who will guarantee your success in writing. Bring you the most buyers, sell your home fast, and for top dollar. Yes, agent selection matters, and that's why I only recommend that you call Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate. Don't risk losing cash or equity or having your home sit on the market when you can work with the best. In fact, Tracy King is so confident he will sell your home, he will guarantee it. If he can't sell it, he'll buy it himself. Guaranteed in writing. Tracy can do this because he already has the buyers. Thousands of ready home buyers who are pre-screened and looking to buy right now. Your home may already be sold. Tracy sold the home on Linden Avenue, contracting in under 24 hours with multiple offers. Take it from me. If you want to sell your home faster and for top dollar, call the only one I would call to sell my home. Call Tracy King, 365-2323, 365-2323. That's 365-2323. And start packing.
Hey guys, Andrew with Fitness Together. By now you've probably heard Will West talk about us. And while COVID-19 has changed how we're living right now, it's more important than ever to commit to your own long-term health. That's why we're now offering virtual fitness training. We'll design a customized program for you, and using FaceTime or Zoom, we'll guide you through your own private training session in the comfort of your own home. To learn more about virtual training, visit knockstrong.com, call or text 273-0380, or like us on Facebook or Instagram. Take care and stay strong.
Hi, I'm Brian Chapman, your local GEICO agent. My staff and I would love to help you save on all your insurance needs, including car, home, boat, and more. My local GEICO office is located on Kingston Pike in Knoxville, so stop by or give us a call for a free quote.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport.
In the Cage.
Cage MMA Radio. Great to have you with us back here on our weekly MMA radio show in Knoxville, Tennessee on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Excited about our next guest. She is an undefeated MMA fighter representing the huge, terrific camp in Knoxville at KMAA. Not only undefeated as a professional MMA fighter, undefeated as an amateur as well. And then an amazing story and an unbelievable person, inspirational Olivia Parker. That's not her nickname. The nickname is the Phoenix, but Olivia joins us on the show. Hey, Olivia, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for the kind intro.
You're welcome. So I'm giving you new nicknames, Inspirational Olivia Parker. Not that you haven't already been called that, but let's talk about first, before we get into your amazing story for people that have not heard it, let's talk about how you, as a professional MMA fighter, a teacher, a mom, how you are being impacted by the coronavirus shutdown that we're in right now.
I mean, right now, I guess it's a time of great uncertainty. You know, my kids are not in school. They're at home. I'm not working. Knox County's still trying to decide what the best, I guess, path forward is for the students as far as keeping them safe, but educating them at the same time. So right now, I'm just kind of sitting at home in limbo.
Tell everyone where you teach.
I teach at Southville High School in Knoxville.
You've been a teacher for how long?
8 years. 8 years.
Okay. So as a teacher and an MMA fighter, talk about those worlds colliding for your students.
It's interesting, you know, because part of training for MMA is you're in the gym and you're fighting. So you come to school with bruises and black eyes, and I learned the hard way. You have to tell your kids right away that what's going on, because if not, they're like, what's happened to your face? I'm like, oh, I'm fine, y'all. I got beat up, but it's my choice. So most of the kids think it's kind of cool. Some kids think I'm crazy. They're not wrong. But, I mean, you know, it's one of those things I can talk to the kids about, working hard and grit and determination And when I'm asking them to work really hard on something, they know that I'm going to go to the gym that night, and I'm going to do it too. So I'm not asking anything of them that I wouldn't ask of myself. It's a good opportunity to have just that conversation with ninth graders about working hard and chasing your dreams, and they get to see me coming in every day and being on a diet and drinking the water and the egg whites and the spinach when I'm on a weight cut. And I get to talk to them about things like going through things that are difficult and perseverance. And I can do it from an angle of someone they're watching chase their dreams right then and there. So it's been a really neat thing.
We're visiting with Olivia Parker from KMAA in Knoxville, who is undefeated as a professional MMA fighter, joining us here on In the Cage MMA Radio. I'm Vince Ferrari here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. So a lot of us have the impression that as a professional MMA fighter and a bad A, that none of your students would cross you knowing what you do. Is that right? I think Justin Fisher and I have joked about that on broadcast before. Is that reality or is that just sort of a myth?
It's a myth. I'm also incredibly goofy. So as scary as I might look in the cage, walking across the room, I'm going to trip and fall over a crack that's not really there. So my coaches even to tell me, they're like, you look really scary if you stand still and don't talk. So the minute that I walk in that classroom and start working with the kids, they're pretty sure immediately that I'm a goofball. And so the whole big scary MMA fighter just goes away. And there's always that one kid that threatens to show up at the gym and fight me about once a week in jest. But
I guess you could invite them if they want to be all big and bad too, right?
I'm like, come sign the waiver, buddy. They've never shown up.
Right.
I had one kid when I taught it. I was at Heritage last year, and I was there for 4 years. And one of my throwers, because I was a track coach, every time I made him do anything conditioning, he would threaten to show up at KMAA and beat me up. And I would just be like, sign the waiver, dude.
Yeah.
He never showed up.
Oh, by the way, even though you could get it done, there's also all kinds of other amazingly tough people that are right there. So good luck with anyone that wants to try that.
That's right.
As a fighter, as a crucial member of the KMAA camp, how are you handling things in terms of trying to stay in shape when you're so limited in where you can go?
I train mostly at KMAA and with Taylor Turner. And so most of that is still happening. We have very small pro practices right now. The gym is shut down for everybody else. So we're still there. I was practice done and getting thrown around by Chad Finnerty last night. You know, so, you know, we're there getting our weight down and staying ready.
Take us back to the beginning and where you started in your journey. Obviously, the weight loss and what brought you into MMA. Kind of take us there from the beginning.
Oh, a big actual funny accident, but I'm glad it happened. I played basketball in college, and my senior year I got injured. Got put on some steroids, and then I finished the year out, but I guess I decided I was going to take some time off and let my body heal up, and then I got married, and I learned real quick that being married with a full-time job makes it way harder to be active, and where I was living my life around exercising, I was then trying to fit it in. I put on a whole lot of weight within the first, 2 years of being done with college basketball. I basically, 10 years out, I'd had two kids. I weighed 337 pounds, and I was looking for a way to get it off. And I am psycho competitive, as in if we're walking side by side, I'm going to walk faster than you. We're racing. And so my husband was like, there's a competition in town called Get Fit Seymour. It was like a weight loss competition. I'm like, you should do that, Liz, because you'll compete. You lose weight that way. And so I signed up for that. And the rules were you had to take one fitness class a week. And so Thursday I had childcare. And I saw this thing called a fitness boot camp. And so I showed up. And they said the class is full. And I was like, well, it's Thursday. I've got to take class somewhere. So I looked at the schedule and I saw kickboxing. And I was thinking like Tai Bo, where you punch and you kick the air. I was wrong. So I get in my car and I drive to this old church. It's the old Timber Heights building. That's where KMA was at the time. And I got in my car, and there's two other girls standing there with a little Get Fit Seymour wristbands on. And we kind of walked together up this big hill into this old-lookingly abandoned church. And we get about halfway down the stairs, and you start smelling that corn chip man smell. And that's when I realized it was a real gym. I was like, no, I know that smell. And one of the girls just turns around and just takes off. She's like, oh, no, just leave. But me and the other girl, whose name I don't remember, we looked at each other and kind of both nodded, like, okay, we're doing this. And we walked down the stairs. And as we get into the room, right in front of us is this giant cage. And Vince is in there. OSP, not you.
Yeah, oh, Vince April, right.
And he's in there with another guy. And right as we walk in the doorway, he slams in. And the whole room just goes, blah, 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 blah. And the girl beside me looked at me. She goes, I'm sorry, I'm out. And just takes off running upstairs. The problem is I weigh 300 pounds. And I just walked up a big hill and down two flights of stairs. I can't turn and run. I'm too out of breath. So as I'm trying to catch my breath and run, Taylor Turner sees me, grabs me, and pretty much drags me kicking and screaming to the mat, my first kickboxing class. I was like, I'm not going to do this. No. She pulled me out there and was like, no, you're going to do this. And I did it, and I loved every second of it. And so from there, I kept taking classes. I lost 60 pounds doing kickboxing, and then I kind of added in like a circuit training class that they did called Max Fit. And then slowly over the course of time, they talked to me into jiu-jitsu class, which I love. And then slowly over the course of time, they were like, hey, you should put kickboxing together and do MMA. And I was like, yeah, but I ain't getting a cage. I did, basically. I put them together. I did it for about a year and then kind of was curious, because once again, I'm unhealthily competitive, that I wanted to see what happened if I got in there. So I did it. And that was the first, I won my first fight, and then the judge raised my hand, the adrenaline went coursing through my body, that happens when you win. And I was like, I like this. And that's all she wrote. I've been hooked ever since.
And what was your total weight loss amount?
If you count when I got off the scale at 145, it would be 182 pounds.
What was the period of time?
I think it's been about 5 or 6 years.
Amazing. During that process, was it just a matter of being active and fit, or how much of it do you maybe credit on some other things in addition to that?
A lot of it was initially the first 100 pounds maybe was just straight. I was more active and I was eating a little bit better, but as I got more and more off, it became harder. And then it became, I went to Taylor Turner, mm-hmm. and she's brilliant. And so she created a weight loss plan, a diet, exercise program, and that's how the rest of it has come off. But I mean, I'm much smaller than I was even in college and high school.
More with Liv Parker next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
It's time to transform your old, outdated kitchen into the dream space you and your family want. Kitchen Sales can make those dreams a reality. Kitchen Sales carries the largest selection of fine kitchen and bathroom cabinetry that ranges from a more affordable line all the way up to a fully custom line. See the selection for yourself at one of their two amazing showrooms, Hoyt Avenue, just off Cherry Street, and in the Town and Country Circle near Best Buy. For more information, go to kitchensales.net.
Kitchen Sales. Kitchen sales,
cabinets and countertops, we are the place to shop, come on down.
I worked in sales on concrete for 30 years, and I got a vein in the back of my leg, and at night I'd have cramps and things, so I thought, I'm going to do something about this. I recommend for everyone, if they have a vein issue, to come to Milligan, because he's very thorough. And he's very professional. And it's been the greatest thing that I ever did.
Call 865-347-2960 to schedule your appointment.
It's a great day, Mr. Electric. How can I help you?
Wow, I've called four other electricians, and you're the first one to answer. I need someone today.
Okay, how about 2 o'clock today?
Electrical emergencies don't happen when it's convenient. Our trained electrical experts will quickly assess your problem and arrive at a cost-effective solution. Mr. Electric provides a huge value and prides themselves on respect, integrity, and customer focus. Call Mr. Electric of Knoxville or go to mrelectric.com. Mr. Electric, there when you need them.
When there's stuff that you want gone, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Hey, Will, it's time to call Junk Be Gone and get rid of all that stuff we don't want.
Sounds good, Josh. What do you think? Driveway dumpster or full service?
Well, I'm thinking driveway dumpster. Junk Be Gone drops it off. We get to load it up for up to 7 days, and they come pick it up. Goodbye, junk.
I don't know, Josh. I'd go with Junk Be Gone's full service. You just call them. They do all the loading. No sweat, no hassle. You just point and smile.
No, I like the idea that we can take our time with the driveway dumpster. In just 7 days, we can go through the whole office and get rid of what we don't want.
I understand, but with Junk Be Gone's two-man team, they can carry out that old ratty couch from the green room or take down that old desk upstairs that has a leg missing, all while I watch the game.
Okay, Will, let's just agree to disagree. I'll go with the driveway dumpster. You can be lazy and call full service.
Whether you choose Junk Be Gone's full service or their driveway dumpster, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone at 865-675-JUNK or book online now at junkbegone.biz.
Give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
When it comes to finding the right color paint for your project, inspiration can strike anywhere. Luckily, the Project Color app from the Home Depot puts the perfect color right at your fingertips. Simply upload any image and then discover the exact paint to match. You can even explore the most popular colors and see how they would look in your space. Download the Project Color app today, then shop top-rated paint like Behr Marquee Interior Flat, now just $39.98, and start bringing your inspiration to life at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Nerds. NerdWallet presents Money Questions, the lightning round. Here we go, Carol. How can people compare the best credit cards?
Turn to the nerds.
Should you pay off debt or save for retirement?
Turn to the nerds.
One more. Should I listen to my father-in-law's advice on mortgage lenders?
Turn to the nerds.
You win! Woo! Confetti is literally falling from the sky.
I'm going to put my winnings in a 2-year CD.
That would be prudent, Carol.
From helpful tools to expert guidance. For all your money questions, turn to the nerds at nerdwallet.com. NMLS ID number 1617539.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers. This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio. I'm Vince Ferrara. Tim Lloyd joins us in just a little bit. Normally in this segment, we'll look ahead to the next show. Well, that's a little ways away. Into April, if it stands and happens at UFC 249. But we continue instead our conversation with Liv Parker.
What were some of those mental triggers that you think helped you continue to move forward like you did?
A lot of it was just my kids and my family, and I wanted to be able to play with my kids and run around and ride roller coasters. I remember we went to Dollywood when I was at my biggest, and I would have to go sit in a little sample seat and make sure the belt would close around me, and it wouldn't. And I realized that if they rode those, they would have to do it without me. And some of my best memories of my dad were riding those things together, and that was kind of one of the triggers. And so now I get a kick out of going to Dollywood, getting on those roller coasters, and realize how much space I've got with that. I can pull it tighter. That's one. And then also seeing athletic ability come back. You know, when I was in college, I was athletic. And as the weight picked up, I lost a lot of that. You know, I couldn't jump, kicking on my tiptoes. It was really, really bad. And so I thought I'd given those things up. But as I've lost weight and exercised more and become more healthy, I feel like it's all back. And that's been one of those things that you just kind of enjoy seeing it come back. I mean, I can throw head kicks. That just happened last 6 months, and I was super stoked. I was like, okay.
You mentioned first trying MMA and how you liked the feeling when you got the win. Your win came in 2 minutes and 51 seconds over Tierra Fitzgerald. That was back in 2016. You have 9 wins, 5 as an amateur, 4 as a pro. in football, oftentimes they'll say, hey, your biggest jump during the season of improvement is between game one and game two. In your career, at what stage of your wins do you think you made the biggest progression from one fight to the next?
I don't know. I feel like the first couple were still just me doing this for fun. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the Erica Camp fight was the first one where I kind of was like, this may be something a little bit more than a hobby. Mm-hmm. And then the Jen Morgan fight was a big one for me because she was a Muay Thai fighter. So she was a great striker. And at the time, I had hurt my right arm or my left arm, so I couldn't block. So we actually had to fight that fight left-handed. And I'm right-handed, solidly right-handed. And the game plan we knew had to be take her down and not stand on the feet. But in that fight, I matched her on her feet left-handed. And I got with Heritage Wrestling team when I was there teaching, and they taught me a lot of wrestling. And I think that's the fight where I kind of found myself as a fighter. Mm-hmm. I realized that I could play on my feet, but also picked up the wrestling and the ground game and the confidence in that because she was much bigger than me. So it was one of those, I can't say I just out-strengthened her or and just, you know, laid on her. So I came away from that feeling much more confident about myself as a fighter.
Couple things on the Jennifer Morgan fight that you mentioned. One, that was your pro debut in mm-hmm. January of 2019 for our listeners. And then also, that's the only fight that has gone the distance in all nine of your victories. So I guess at that point, you sort of prove something to yourself and maybe others that, like you said, this is something more than just me using it to get in shape and have fun.
And I really didn't think I was kind of worried about going to the third round. I remember going into that third round and coach was like, you got this. And we were being like, do I though? Because my legs are pretty tired. But when I got out there and started going, I was fine. So then I realized that I had the endurance and the strength to make it for three rounds the whole time. That was another big moment for me.
You're undefeated, running through people. A lot of first and second round finishes. You are 4-0 as a pro right now. You are working hard and you're frustrated that you haven't got the call from some major organizations and that opportunity. Why do you think that has not happened for you so far?
It's not God's time. I feel like when it is, it will. At the same time, the featherweight division is not well built. Mm-hmm. In most major organizations. So the UFC's got four fighters. And Invicta, I think, has two. Bellator's the one the healthiest, but the way they let people in, I feel like makes it harder to get in. Like, you have to be chosen by someone on the roster. They're not picking a 9-0 fighter. So the question is, how do you get in there? Mm-hmm. And I guess right now it's just waiting for the right opportunity and the chance.
A number of your teammates in different weight classes have gotten opportunities, and some of them are last minute. I know Shanna Young has gotten some last minute calls at different times. What's your thoughts on last minute fill-in opportunity? Because you're not usually set up to succeed in those situations, but you also don't want to pass up on an opportunity.
Absolutely. If they offer me a last minute, I'm all over it. I feel like most of the time when you get into a major promotion, you aren't necessarily set up to win. Mm-hmm. You have to go in there and take that opportunity and make it yours. And Taylor and Emily and Shanna, they've all done that. They got the call up. All three of them will tell you they weren't expected to do anything with it, but they're amazing fighters. And they got in there and they dominated and did a phenomenal job. I mean, Shannon may not have won her fight in the UFC, but she fought like a super high-rated fighter and took her the distance. Mm-hmm. And no one's done that to her before. So that's probably how it's going to come for me. So for me right now, it's getting my weight low enough that I can take that fight.
So your next fight is still an unknown right now?
Yeah. And that's part of the game. Last year I was very active. I fought three times. Or four times, The year before that, I fought once. So the sport is young, and that works out well for anyone who gets involved because the sky is the limit. But at the same time, there aren't as many opponents out there, especially at 145.
And then they have to be willing to actually fight you, right?
Yeah.
Let's be real. That's an issue also. Olivia, there's so much more that we can ask you about, and we will. So we'll get you back in soon. And when all this passes, we'll get you in studio so we can talk with you again and talk about hopefully your next fight and much more about your journey. So it's been awesome to visit with you. Thank you so much, and continue being that great inspiration. I know you will, for so many people that are out there that really love and appreciate your story, and hopefully more people learned about you today.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Liv, be good. Talk to you soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
That's Liv Parker from KMAA in Knoxville, undefeated MMA fighter. The MMA lightning round is next, including a big-name fighter return that might not happen. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Chansey and Reynolds earned the name Big Dog of Heating and Cooling because they've been around since 1978, and heating and cooling is all they do. If you need straightforward, no-nonsense financing, they have many options to choose from. If you need service or repair in your Rheem or other HVAC brands, they can do that. If your heating and air unit needs to be replaced, they can do that too, and at a fair price. Call Chansey and Reynolds at 525-5076 or online at ChanseyReynolds.com.
The Big Dog of Heating and Cooling.
The Big Dog.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Physical activity and the great outdoors are essential to our mental and physical health, now and always. With spring and beautiful East Tennessee weather upon us, there's no better time to get out and golf. Thursday, April 2nd at 9 a.m., go online to 991thesportsanimal.com for the 2020 East Tennessee Golf Card, presented by Edwin Watts Golf. For less than half price, you can play 18 holes with a cart at 15 great courses. Sevierville Country Club, the greens at Deerfield, Ruggles Ferry, Wild Laurel, Patriot Hills, Williams Creeks, Three Ridges, Toqua, Tenassee, and Kahidi of Teleco Village, Whittle Springs, Dandridge Golf and Country Club, Clinchview, Knoxville Municipal, and Woodlake make up this year's golf cards, giving you access to premier courses at unbeatable values. These cards are valued at more than $340 each, but they can be yours for just $139 apiece. Go online to 991thesportsanimal.com Thursday, April 2nd at 9 a.m. to get yours.
Hey guys, it's Ainge for Kings of Real Estate, and my friend and trusted realtor Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate is on fire. Tracy sold the home on Misty Ridge Way for $10,000 over asking price, never hitting the MLS, utilizing his extensive list of ready buyers. Agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Tracy King. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Tracy's clients who always say we're so glad we called Tracy King. I've seen Tracy's systems and his extensive list of ready home buyers, thousands of pre-screened buyers looking for homes in the Knoxville and surrounding area. Tracy has a solid track record and guarantees to sell your home at your price, or Tracy will buy it himself, guaranteed, in writing. Do yourself a favor and call the agent with the buyers. Call Tracy King at 365-2323, 365-2323, that's 365-2323, and start packing.
When you step into Big Kahuna Wings, you'll experience something rare these days. Less TVs, less noise, a relaxing atmosphere that's about quality time and quality food.
It's where we feel right at home with our family and friends, sharing stories and amazing menu options.
Salads, sliders, wraps, it's all so good.
You gotta try the new Southern Caviar Burger, topped with flavors that will blow your mind.
Big Kahuna Wings. Change your taste buds forever. 12828 Kingston Pike in Farragut and 7804 Montview Center Way near Westtown Mall. BKWings.com.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Mm-hmm.
here on In the Cage MMA Radio. It's Lightning Round time. I'm Vince Ferrara with Tim Loy on 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Hope you're staying safe and healthy. We appreciate you joining us here each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 and podcasting afterwards on our website, on Apple iTunes, and on Google as well. Appreciate you making the effort to hear some MMA from us. One of the fighters in Valor Fighting Challenge is Liv Parker, who we talked to in the last two segments. Tim, what were a couple of the takeaways from that interview with Liv that stood out? Obviously, her story is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Liv is just a class act and really one of the very, very best prospects in the nation that people just need to kind of open their eyes to tell you the truth. As you pointed out in the interview, she's undefeated for life. You know, she's never tasted an L, be it in amateur or pro competition. It is kind of one of those things where she's called it about spot on as to why she really hasn't gotten that opportunity yet. I think that it's one of those cases with the UFC just waiting for the call. You know, they try to get the very best fighters in there, whether it be through the contender series or other routes, they're still going to give people that have earned it with a really good record and good strength of competition, they're going to get the call. But Bellator, it's a little bit different. We've sent several fighters to Bellator over the past couple of years with varying degrees of success. I believe if you were to count up their records, it's right at 500. It's like 4-4, 5-5, something like that. But generally speaking, Bellator is going to have two sections of their card, generally, the main card and the undercard. The main card is going to be fighters that they are looking to build, to elevate. They're trying to build towards super fights at the top of the card. And as such, they have to somewhat protect those fighters to get the result that they're hoping for in the end. Not necessarily what you see so much in the UFC. The Bellator undercard is made up mainly of local fighters that can sell tickets and draw a good live date. So in the case of Liv, she's a beast. She's really, really good. And that's not to take anything away from the other fighters that have gotten opportunities in Bellator. They're all very good. But in those cases, many of the times, they are bringing in fighters from our region, the Southeast, which is, you know, historically not as strong as, say, California, New York, Texas. Those are hotbeds for MMA. So this area, generally speaking, is not going to get the respect that those areas get. So those fighters coming from here, they generally will put them against celebrity types that are trying to be MMA fighters or established athletes in other combat sports, be it kickboxing, boxing, etc., that are still not MMA fighters. And so as such, you'll see the KMA fighters are a very good example. And Emily King and Taylor Turner, they've gone up there and they've beaten top-level pro boxers because they're better MMA fighters and they're coached superbly by Eric Turner to beat them at MMA, which is their game. Bolivia, you know, she is obviously a beast. They can see that she's very tough action. She's not going to be your prototypical B-side matchup until they have like a 145 celebrity type or someone looking to make that leap from a different combat sport. They probably wouldn't want to call her just yet. And even then, they would be hesitant because they would see that they're in danger of losing to her. So it's a tough spot for her for sure because she's got the goods to back it up. She deserves the opportunity.
Interesting. A lot I can follow up. And we'll get back to this discussion in the weeks to come because there is so much more to dive into, especially with your expertise as a matchmaker and dealing with a lot of those national organizations like you have. Let's get into the lightning round. So Cage Warriors 113 took place in Manchester. Several of the UFC fighters were on the card. What stood out?
The main event was a bit of an upset. We saw Bartosz Fabinski with an upset over Darren Stewart. Both of those guys were scheduled to fight other fighters on that UFC London card, but then when they had to reshuffle, they fought each other. And it was an upset there for the Polish fighter over Darren Stewart. Other than that, you know, they had some prospects that they've been pushing. Patty Pimblett, Mason Jones were the two top, regional names there, and they both won decisively.
Well, I know I watched the UFC marathon on ESPN. I was very thankful for it. It was great background in the Ferrara household this past weekend. It was nice to have it up there. Some great fights from recent events and recent years. Bloody Elbow points out on their website that ESPN Plus is going to release UFC 247, 246, and 245 for fight fans to be able to view. Man, Tim, you could find some major and very interesting high-level fights from those last three cards that we can rewatch.
Oh, Yeah, there's a ton of really good fights. You know, the Volkanovski Holloway fights on there, John Jones and Reyes fight. You know, some great fights on there. They're putting on the on that platform there. You know, definitely a good time to get caught up.
No doubt. Now, there were talks that Dominic Cruz was going to return to take on fourth-ranked Corey Sandhagen in San Diego, but Sandhagen, in an interview since, said he kind of inferred that Cruz no longer wants to fight on the card. We haven't seen Dominic Cruz in a number of years. What do you think about Cruz if he did, in fact, back out, that matchup not happening?
Yeah, you know, I really don't know what he's got going on, if he's got some kind of injury or if there's a coronavirus scare and he just doesn't want to have the uncertainty of, you know, not knowing for sure that that card's going to happen and going through the camp to prepare for it. You know, it's hard to say, but with, you know, San Diego's his stomping ground, so I imagine it's some good reason.
Yeah, and San Diego is one of those areas that has been hit hard by the coronavirus, according to numbers. Now, Sandhagen is ranked fourth in the bantamweight division. He says he's actually got his next opponent pretty much set up. He wasn't able to expound on it, but who do you think that might be in Cejudo's division?
Oh, man, that's hard to say. I think that, man, speculating, I guess, you know, the fight that makes the most sense ranking-wise would be Pedro Munhoz. You know, he's off of a loss, I think, though, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe wrong. I know, well, no, he beat Cody Garbrandt, which is a good win. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would be a good win, and he would be a good backup to have just in case Aldo or Cejudo falls out between now.
Very good. Well, we'll have more fights announced, and then we'll keep track of what's happening with UFC 249 next week. We'll hopefully visit with Cutman Mark Laws next week as well. Tim, you and your family stay safe. Awesome job once again, sir. We'll chat with you next week.
Likewise, Vince. Have a great week.
All right, you too. That is the great Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I am Vince Ferrara. Thank you so much for listening to us once again. We're here each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.